The title of our message today is The Hostility That Destroys Hostility. Turn to James 4:4. In James 4:4, we read, "You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward Yah? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of Yah." And again, "Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with Yah?" Fact for consideration. The only way for anyone to be separated from this world is to have that enmity or hostility destroyed. Notice, the friendship of the world is not at hostility toward Yah. It is the hostility itself. The only way people can be reconciled to Yah is by having the hostility taken away. But the hostility itself cannot be reconciled. Now the man whom the hostility puts at hostility with God is reconciled to God simply by removing the hostility itself. Let me say that again. The man whom the hostility puts at hostility with Yah is reconciled to Yah simply by removing the hostility itself. Let's set up a balanced equation. The friendship of the world equals hostility toward Yah. When the hostility is taken away, we are freed from its grip. Romans 8:7. Let's turn there. Romans 8:7 says, "The mind of the flesh is hostile toward Yah, for it does not subject itself to the law of Yah, for it is not even able to do so." There is no possibility of that hostility being reconciled to Yah. Nothing can be done for it, but something can be done with it. God Himself cannot make the mind of the flesh subject to His law. Get this, He's restricted. God Himself cannot make the mind of the flesh subject to His law. It just cannot be done. Yah can destroy it, that is, the mind of the flesh, but He cannot do anything for it to improve upon it, to reform it, or to make it better. And going on to verse 8, "And those who are in the flesh, or in the mind set on the flesh, cannot please God." John 15:19. Yahshua says, "You are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world." He has separated the Christian from the flesh, from the ways of the flesh, from the mind set on the flesh, and from bondage to the flesh. In the same way, He has separated the true Christian from the world. Let us see how Satan took control of the world. In doing this, we must turn to Genesis chapter 3. Let's turn there. Genesis chapter 3. Verses 1 through 5. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which Yah, the Almighty One, had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath Yah said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, the Almighty One hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For the Almighty One doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. The insinuation here was, starting with verse 2, Yah himself knows that it is not so, and he knows what he has told you is not so. This shows that there is something behind that. It shows that he is not dealing fairly with you. He does not want you to benefit from this. He knows what this will do for you, and not wanting it for you, he has said, do not do it. That's the insinuation that Satan gives to Eve. Can you see the seeds of distrust and suspicion that are planted in her mind? The woman took Satan's suggestion and entertained the thought. Then she thought she now saw what before she did not see, which in reality was a falsehood. Adam and Eve were created to receive all of their instruction from Yah. They were to listen only to his word, to accept that word, to allow it to guide them, and to live in them. In this way, they would have the mind of Yah. They would think the thoughts of Yah by his word dwelling in them. Eve gave attention to another mind, directly opposite and opposed to the mind of Yah. Other thoughts were received, other words surrendered to and obeyed, so that the woman saw that the tree was good for food. Was the tree really good for food? No, of course not. But by listening to Satan's words, she saw things that were not so. Notice the mind control in this. By listening to words and yielding thoughts to the other mind, she saw things in a false light altogether. Even though she saw the tree to be good for food, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, it was no such thing. Yet she saw it. Can you see the power of deception in the words and ways of Satan? You cannot negotiate with him ever and expect to win. If you stop to listen, you will be deceived. So both Eve and Adam ate of the fruit. Let's read Genesis 3, verse 8. And they heard the voice of Yah, the Almighty One, walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Yah, the Almighty One, amongst the trees of the garden. Why would they hide from Yah? Something was not in harmony with him. Read further, Genesis 3, 9 through 11. And Yah, the Almighty One, called unto Adam, and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree, whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And of course Adam says, Yes, I did eat. I know now that I was wrong, and I'm sorry. No, that's not the case, is it? Why do you suppose he didn't admit it? Why do you suppose he did not say yes? He had eaten, had he not? Yes seems to be the only acceptable answer in truth. Let's read Adam's answer in Genesis 3:12. And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. He laid the blame in sequence. First, the woman. then you, God, and then me. The insinuation is, I wouldn't have done it if the woman had not brought it to me, and if the woman had not been here, and you, God, put her here, she could not have given it to me. If you had not put her here, she would not have been able to give it to me because she would not have been here to do it. As a matter of fact, I did eat of the fruit, but the responsibility lies somewhere else. What was it in Adam that would involve all the universe before himself in that matter? I tell you, it is love of self, self-defense, and self-justification. Read further, Genesis 3:13. And Yah the Almighty said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And so the woman answered, Oh, I took of the tree and ate of it. Then I gave fruit to my husband, and he ate of it, and it is a terrible thing I have done. No, that's not the case, is it? She says the serpent deceived her, causing her to eat it. Notice, Yah did not ask her, Who did it? He asked, What is this you have done? The same self-protection caused Eve to dodge the question and involves someone else. Lay the blame elsewhere. Why? Why didn't they answer the straight question straight as it should have been? The answer is this. They could not do it. They could not do it because of mind control. The mind by which they were actuated had taken possession of them, held them in bondage, and enslaved them in its power. It is the mind of self-exaltation. It is the mind of Satan. The mind set on the flesh. Friendship with the world. Hostility toward Yah. The enemy of God. The self-assertive course, the mind of Satan, is rebellion against the Almighty. Hostility toward God. And it is not subject to the law of Yah, neither indeed can it be, according to the Scriptures. When Adam and Eve accepted that mind, they surrendered the world to Satan, and he became the God of this world. His mind became the mind that controls the world. This mind which controls mankind cannot be subject to the law of Yah. For it is hostility toward Yah. The only way man could answer a straight question with a straight answer is to have the mind of hostility destroyed. The Christian is separate from the world, has no part with the mind of Satan. He has had the mind set on the flesh destroyed, demolishing the hostility toward Yah. He is continually, uninterruptedly subject to the law of Yah. So the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward Yah, Romans 8:7, because it does not subject itself to the law of Yah. It is not even able to do so. Secondly, Yah himself cannot make the mind set on the flesh subject to his law. Thirdly, Yah can destroy the mind set on the flesh, but he cannot do anything to improve it, reform it, or make it better. You wash a pig, put a suit on him. He's still a pig. Sooner or later, he'll find the mud and the slop and go back to his old way. Turn to 2 Peter 2:22. 2 Peter 2:22. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. We have said that the Almighty has separated the true Christian from the mind set on the flesh, from the ways of the flesh, and from the bondage to the flesh, which is to say, separated from the world. We have covered how Satan took control of the world through false insinuations, which is mind control. When Adam and Eve accepted the mind of Satan, they surrendered the world to him, and he became the god of this world. So, this is the mind of Satan. The mind of Satan is the mind set on the flesh, and it is hostility toward Yah. No one having this mindset has any ability to obey Yah's law. And by the way, Yah's law is the law of love. So anyone having this mind set on the flesh cannot, has no ability to obey Yah's law of love. This self-assertive attitude is total rebellion against Yah, and no one can improve on it or get better because it is not subject to the law of Yah. Neither indeed can it be, Romans 8:7. It sounds like a hopeless condition, doesn't it? But Yah has made provision in Genesis 3:15. Let's read it. I will put enmity or hostility between you, Satan, and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He, Christ, shall bruise you on the head, and you, Satan, shall bruise him, Christ, on the heel. Thus, there are two hostilities in this world. One comes from Satan and is enmity against Yah. The other is from Yah and is enmity against Satan. Satan's hostility is rooted in hate and falsehood. Yah's hostility is rooted in love and truth and is called the righteousness of Yah. In the words, I will put hostility between you and the woman. Yah broke the power of Satan over the will of man, and man was set free to choose which authority he would follow. You remember that neither Eve nor Adam could give a straight answer to what they had done when they were asked by Yah. With Yah's gift of hostility toward Satan, though, man could once again choose to give a straight answer when asked by Yah. Did you do so and so? Then man could say yes without blaming anyone else before themselves. This gift of Yah includes repentance, the ability to confess a wrong committed and turn away from it forever, not ever doing it again. It also includes turning away from doing something wrong when tempted to do it. The gift of repentance destroys the mind of Satan because all deception and falsehood is destroyed. Thanks be to Yah that we have the good news that the mind of Satan is destroyed, and Yahshua, the Messiah, proved it by his example life. God's gift, His only begotten Son. Let's read John 3:16-21. John 3:16-21. For Yah so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For Yah sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of Yah. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in Yah. The person who is reconciled to Yah has allowed this gift of Yah, this hostility towards Satan, to destroy that old mind of Satan and self. Thus we have the hostility that destroys hostility. Which world shall a person choose? A world of hostility toward Yah, toward His truth, toward His love, or a better world where peace, truth, love, and health abounds? The enmity against Satan is provided by Yah, and all one must do is to believe it and receive it. What good news! The hostility toward Yah is destroyed in the promise of Genesis 3:15, so that all may be set free. Let's turn now to Ephesians 2, 1 and 2. You He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, or Satan, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Yes, we all walked according to that spirit, didn't we? We were all once sons and daughters of disobedience, being controlled by the mind that originated the evil in the Garden of Eden, and that which is hostility toward Yah. Ephesians 2:3. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts or desires of our flesh, fulfilling the selfish desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Colossians 1:21 says, And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled. Where did the hostility lie that made us enemies? In the mind set on the flesh, or the self-assertive mindset. Looking at Ephesians 2:11-12, remember that you were once Gentiles in the flesh. In verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the promises of Yah, having no hope and without Yah in the world. And Ephesians 4:17-18, you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind. Verse 18, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of Yah, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of their heart. Those who are in the flesh, far off from Yah, are walking in the vanity or idolatry of their mind. And as such, they are enemies of Yah, being separated from that eternal life of Yah. Enemies in the mind, that is what we were. Ephesians 2:13, But now, in Christ Yahshua, you who once were far off, that is, far off from the Almighty One, have been made near to the Almighty One by the blood of Christ. And verse 14 of Ephesians 2, For He Himself is our peace, who has broken down the middle wall of division between us, in verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity or hostility. Thanks be to Yah that he abolished the enmity, and we can be separated from the world. These verses pose an interesting question. What causes walls of division between people? Husbands and wives, fathers and children, Jews and Gentiles, rich and poor, etc. It is the enmity that has first separated them from Yah. And being separated from Yah, the certain consequence is to be separated from each other. Back to verse 14. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one. Who is made one? Yah and men, of course. Verse 15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. Does the Messiah make a new man out of a Jew and a Gentile? No. Out of a heathen and a saint? No. Out of two heathens? No, of course not. Yah makes one new man out of Yah and a man. And in Christ, the Messiah, Yah and man met, so that they were created one. Understand this now. All men were separated from Yah, and in their separation from Yah, they were separated from one another. True, Christ desires to bring all men into harmony. Remember, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. But does he spend time destroying all these innumerable separations as the common counselor might do? Or does he say, oh well, let bygones be bygones, we'll just bury the hatchet, turn over a new leaf, and we'll live better from now on? The Messiah could persuade thousands to admit their wrongs, bury the hatchet, and start over by turning over a new leaf. Commit to doing better in the future. You've seen this at New Year's. But how many would stick to their resolutions? How many really could stick to their commitments? I'll tell you, none of them, because the wicked thing is still there. That wicked thing that caused the division is still in the mind. What caused the division? It was the enmity. Their separation from Yah caused the separation from one another. Their separation from Yah forces a separation from one another. It is the root of the matter. The mind set on the flesh, the enmity against Yah. As a minister, I have nothing to do with settling specific difficulties between people as such. If I can get the difficulty between Yah and the men settled, all other separations will be ended, and all other difficulties will be resolved. There is therefore now no need whatever of our having any friendship with the world. No need of our having any lack of obedience to the law of Yah. No need of any failure to be subject to the Almighty One. For Yahshua the Messiah has taken the enmity out of the way. He has abolished it. He has destroyed it. He has destroyed the wicked thing in which lies friendship with the world, in which lies lack of subjection to Yah and failure to be subject to His law. In Christ, the hostility is gone. This is freedom indeed. Let us take this good news to heart. Let us rejoice in it today. And let us rejoice in it day and night, that God may lead us further and further into the green pastures, and by the still waters of His glorious kingdom into which He has translated us. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you and unto me is born this day in the city of David, a Savior from the hostility, which is Christ, our Master. He is the hostility that destroys hostility. Do not allow the sun to go down on your hostility before it is destroyed. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for bringing your Son from heaven and giving him as a gift to us on this planet. Father, thank you for blessing us with the answer to the hostility against your law. Thank you for the answer to our friendship with the world. Thank you for giving us hostility against Satan's mind. Thank you for giving us hostility that destroys hostility. Thank you for giving us the Son of Yah as a gift. You have said through your word, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." May we go forward day and night, believing and accepting the truth of Yahshua, who has destroyed the hostility of Satan in our hearts. In Yahshua's name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah.